Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tyrone Crawford.
Holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast. Windsor's only local sports podcast presented by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm your host for the Wind City Sports Podcast every Monday, anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Going strong for over 5 years now, we are very easy to find, both on the podcasting platforms and on social media, at WindCity_sports on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We also have a YouTube page, so give us a like, follow, subscribe on whatever it may be, whatever you use. Give us a review on whatever app you might use, hopefully a good one, and let us know what you think of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Tell your friends, tell your family, and spread the word of local individuals, featuring interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more every week here on Wind City Sports. But today is Monday, February 14th, 2014. It's Valentine's Day, and it's the day after the Super Bowl. So couldn't have fallen on a better time, I suppose. But recording the day before, so I'm going to make it a short, quick one, at least for myself, so I can get to my Super Bowl festivities very soon. But lots to talk about. We will get you caught up with our Windsor Spitfires before we get into our interview with actually a former Spit and Memorial Cup champion. Ever since I started the show, I always thought of having this guy on, and definitely am honored to do so. Finally connected on Instagram, was able to find his page and talk to him there. And coming back to the light of hockey, I guess, in the sense, is Richard Greenup, former Windsor Spitfire, well-known enforcer from the 2009 Memorial Cup Championship years and leading up to it as well. So definitely known around here for being our enforcer in the barn and in the first year of the WFCU Center and into that first Memorial Cup. He went on, he got drafted by the Chicago Blackhawks and didn't end up playing there, but he ended up signing with the Toronto Maple Leafs actually, and being assigned to the Marlies, played 2 years there, although being sent down to Reading for some reason, in his final year. And as he'll talk about, and as he's talked about before, dealing with some struggles in substance abuse, alcohol abuse, kind of stemming from some concussions and injuries from hockey. So kind of coming back into the hockey world, as I mentioned, through the Hockey to Hell podcast first with Brady Leivold is Richard Greenup. We're going to talk about a lot of good stories in this one, some great stories in Windsor. Fights in Windsor, bars in Windsor, games, some takes on, you know, the OHL at the time, and some interesting stories from Richard for sure. I just listened to it back, and definitely a lot of clips could be made from this one. So we're going to get into that interview in just a little bit. We're going to tell you about our Spitfires before then and see what else I might have for local sports news. Maybe a little bit about the Olympics that's going on right now. Not too much local ties, but we'll talk about that. But before we get into any of that, I got to tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. The holiday countdown event has been extended into the new year at Amherstburg GM. They have great deals on the new 2022 GM Terrion and $25,000 or less deals on 2021 models, including the Chevrolet Camaro, Chevrolet Silverado, and Savannah Cargo, one hell of a cargo van, and as well as a Cadillac Escalade used as well. So lots of options if you're looking for a new or used car, if you're looking to buy, lease, or even sell. Check out Amherstburg Buick GMC on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. They're dedicated to proudly serve drivers throughout Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, LaSalle, and beyond. They provide top quality service to everyone that walks through their doors, and this includes assistance with picking out a new ride, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. That's Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg, or check them out at amherstburggm.com. All right, so the Spitfires. Coming off a huge win and a two-game winning streak, we'll get you caught up with the last 2 weeks here, or better yet, week of Spitfires action. from where we left off last Monday, they had a game that previous Sunday night, losing to the Sarnia Stings 6-2. From there, they won two games, first at home at the WFCU Center this Thursday against Saginaw, 4-1 final. And from there, they welcomed the London Knights to the WFCU Center and defeated the number one team, 5-2, the final score. Wyatt Johnson had two goals and an assist for the Spitfires, and Daniel D'Amico added the insurance goal with just over 3 minutes left in the period. They came back from a 2-1 deficit to beat the number one ranked London Knights. Spitfires still sitting in fourth place of the Western Conference right now. And coming up next, they have a nice little Super Bowl break as well, as they are off until this Friday. They'll be playing at home for the Mickey Reno game if it does go down in any capacity. The last game with 500 people capacity as well. February 18th, this Friday, against the Flint Firebirds. Home and home with the Firebirds as they go up to Flint on Saturday night. And then back home again on Monday for a family day game 1 week from today against Saginaw at 2:05. So that is our Windsor Spitfires roundup for this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Speaking of Spitfires, former Windsor Spitfire Josh Hosang representing Canada in the men's hockey division right now for Team Canada. 2-1 record, beating Germany and China, but losing to U.S. So keeping up with the Olympics, you know, as much as I can, watching a lot of the unique sports that you don't see too often, but not a lot of local ties to the games this year. But that's okay. But that being all said, get you caught up with the Spitfires. Following our interview, we'll talk a little bit about our Windsor Express and whatever Windsor Lancers and whatever else I might be able to gather up. But now it's time to get into our interview with former Windsor Spitfire 2009 Memorial Cup champion, Richard Greenop. Here we go.
So now joined by a Bowmanville native. Around these parts, he's remembered as one of our Windsor Spitfires enforcers during that 2009 Memorial Cup championship run and leading up to it, of course. And of course, he's a 2009 Mem Cup champ. Drafted by the Blackhawks and spent two seasons with the Marlies. But here to tell his story is Richard Greenop. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Like we were talking about before, we actually had a good like little podcast before this, I guess. And just, yeah. just so happy to have you on, man. I've always wanted to have you on. And I'm sure we're going to have some good stories and stuff to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. So, like I said, we'll never forget your name here in Windsor. And I want to see, you know, how much you kind of remember from the very beginning. I mean, it's going back a little bit, but different time for the team, even when you arrived compared to the end, right? So,
yeah.
What do you remember about first coming in?
It was new management. I remembered my first camp that I came. It was Mo Mantha and those guys.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't really keen on even staying in Windsor. I wasn't even sure I wanted to play anymore, to be honest.
Yeah.
I went back to play tier two in Oshawa, and I had heard that there was some new ownership and some good guys coming in. I came back for summer camp after my tier two year, and DJ Smith was running it. And of course I got a liking to DJ, and I spent the whole camp just trying to fight anybody. Nobody was having it. Of course, DJ loved it. And I did well skills wise there too. And then I went into main camp, and they had a guy there in the old barn ready to fight. First shift, first everything, go in. And I believe I always like to think that was the determining fight, like whether I was for real or not, because this other guy was a big name too. And I absolutely wiped the floor with him. Like, it was bad. I had to change my jersey, my elbow pads. I had blood everywhere. I had to take my mouth guard. It was disgusting. And then they got me all new gear, all new elbow pads, sent me back out. And then actually my favorite part of that was I was staying at my billet's house, and Ryan Baldwin was driving me back and forth to the rink, and he drove me to the rink. They sent us out to fight each other. We fought, and then he drove me home and then invited me to his mother's birthday dinner that night. So we ended up having birthday dinner, and then we had spaghetti dinner every night for 3 years with Vicky. Yeah, it was amazing people. And a lot of Windsor was like that for me. I just met people that I loved. It was a special place for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's a Windsor guy for you, you know, in Baldwin.
Yeah.
We'll fight, but we'll be friends too, right?
Yeah. They were just amazing people. His family was just very special and dear to me for sure.
Yeah, and well known here in Windsor in the hockey community for sure too.
So. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Freddie there, yeah.
So that kind of attests to our, you know, what we're talking about. And you mentioned you did well in the skills aspect there at training camp too. And just to kind of, you know, a little bit offshoot, but, you know, obviously you're known as an enforcer from your time.
Yeah.
Never thought that you were like not a skilled player either, like personally, you know, but what really kind of got you into it? Like, were you always into hockey or was it just like something everyone did out there, you know?
To be honest with you, my dad, it might've been just something like my dad wanted to get me into some sports, whether it was martial arts or fighting or hockey or whatever. Right. Like something probably just like any dad would want to do, get them involved in the team aspect or sport or something. I decided I want to play. It wasn't something that was pounded to me. It wasn't like we sat down and watched a hockey game every night. It wasn't like that for us, but it was very obvious that I had a natural ability. And it was something for my dad and myself to do. And it's something I enjoyed to have with my father. Right. Like, and I was always the top skilled player in every team, even into tier two. Like they were only playing me 3 minutes a game and I was still third on the team and probably points. So, and then I wasn't getting played and I just said, kind of screw it. And dad said, well, if you're going to fight anywhere on the ice would probably be the best place to do it. Yep. You're not going to get in trouble. And I quickly made a name for myself that way. And then I think I sparked the attention of Windsor that time too.
Yeah. And I was going to come up anyway, but for listeners, if you haven't watched or listened to Richard on the Hockey to Hell podcast, please do so. And you mentioned a lot, you know, of your father's influence through that and kind of getting into hockey and into kind of your role. Now, again, talked about on there, but you come to Windsor, it's not like you've never fought before, but it wasn't necessarily like that's all you did, right?
No, it was one of those things that like I grew up and I would always hear stories about my dad and, you know, being a tough guy is a special label, especially for somebody like myself. Being the guy that nobody wants to mess with or even off the ice. You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of the times that on the ice, there might be some guys that get the best of me, but off the ice, I promise you, it won't go as well as you think because it's two totally different things. But it's just one of those things that I enjoyed the title and it was something that my dad had a title for back in his day. And it was something that I wanted to be like my father. I wanted to be respected that way. And obviously it didn't go as planned in the long run, but it was something that I felt that was special to me. It was something I enjoyed. The hockey, I kind of fell out of love with it, I could say. And towards the end of my career, I was mainly only focusing on training in boxing, MMA, and weights. That was basically all I was training in. I would do my practices and stuff like that, but I was not doing extra work anymore. Like, the interest wasn't there as much.
Yeah. I was going to ask, too, if you did martial arts or anything, even growing up or while in hockey. Kind of mentioned it just now.
We did a bit of Muay Thai. We did a bit of boxing. Anything that DJ Smith would send me out for, I would kind of take. I met with a guy named Reno out of Maximum MMA. Yeah. He was awesome. That guy was great and skilled. Like he blew my mind. And then once I hit pro, I started going into Muay Thai gyms around my area a lot.
I find it cool. I know Reno. I don't train at his place, but I train him. I do jujitsu. So you know, familiar with, and I love when it blends together with another thing I like in hockey, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of obviously phased out now, I feel like my year was the last true year of tough guys. Like, you're not going to see it anymore. Like, they were cracking down so hard on me by the end. Like, even at Mem Cup, like, they were sending us fines just because I was standing out on the ice, tapping the guys to go out on the ice.
Yeah.
They fined the team just for me standing out there because they felt like I was trying to intimidate the other team, right?
Yeah.
But that was my thing.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that watched me in warm up, half of my game was in the warm up. So.
Yeah, man. But you know, like, you kind of talked about like that tough guy mentality and title and stuff here, and it's a big thing here too. I mean, it's probably a big thing everywhere.
Yeah.
It fits no, perfectly Windsor, in Windsor, right? Yeah.
Windsor was different. Like, you go and fight on the ice all night, and then you go to the bar and there's people knocking at your door thinking that they want to make a name for themselves at the bar, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, like, just leave it alone. Like, you know what I mean? It was one of those, but I love that place, man. I still love Windsor. It's just the way my life's ran, and this is where I am now.
Yeah, no worries, man. That's cool to hear, though, you know, because again, like, you were kind of like our guy. And like that's what I say, we'll never forget the name, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And
I definitely left a mark on a few people, on a good amount of people out there. You know, I'd love to obviously go back at some point. You know, I may one day. It's different for me, especially now. Like, my billets have sold the house. Since they sold the house, it's been harder for me to go back there.
Yeah.
That house was a lot. For my memory in Windsor, for sure.
It's a lot of the whole city, the whole, you know, the organization is different now, right? So, and
yeah, absolutely.
You know, like you talked about, like, cracking down on you at the end there, it was transition period for the league too. And a lot of it stemmed because of stuff that happened in Windsor. Jeff Goober,
yeah,
Steve Down.
They definitely made it. Like, I didn't go a year in Windsor without a bullying suspension. Like, I can admit the first one I absolutely deserved. Like, the people were taking bids on how many games I was going to get in my first year because I chased some guy. I had to go for a conference meeting in Toronto, and they just put me in a boardroom. They had a big like a screen up and like projector going and all these different angles of the game. And they dropped the puck at the offside line. In our end, they won the faceoff, went back to their D. He threw it up ice, and I just went directly to him. I was the winger, and I went across directly to him. And then he turned around, started skating forward back to his end to try to get away from me. And Branch said, if there was an exit door at the back of that arena, he would have went out of it to get away from me. And I caught him right at the ice. I deserve that one for sure. But the one that really pissed me off was playoffs in the last year against Plymouth. Some guy came over and he's like flying elbowed me. I was right up against the glass, and as soon as he made contact with my face, he turtled. Like, as soon as he hit me, he just went dead weight to the ground because he knew. And my gloves came off. I kind of got on top of him. I was trying to give him some shots, but it was just a dog pile at that point. And they gave me 5 games for that in the middle of
the
Cup run. Yeah. It was garbage. They're just
trying
to crack down, right?
Yeah. We were rowdy at that time too. So I remember everyone being real pissed about that.
Oh, yeah. It was quite the run.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're just about to get into that, you know, that year pretty much, because that's the best of the best. But one thing I want to get into too is kind of like, you know, growing up out in the Bowmanville area there, playing AAA, coached by one of our buddies and your dad, Paul Britton, and your dad
were coaches,
and came up with Andrew Angelage too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Andrew, I didn't really meet him that much until tier two.
Yeah.
It was so weird, eh? Like, we did tier two, then went to Windsor, and then went to the Marlies together. Like, you'll never see that again.
No.
But yeah, for sure. It was a good upbringing.
And that's what I mean. Like, two guys in two different roles, a goaltender and a player forward, make it, you know, as far, even just the same team together. You know, like, it's always
good. He was my roommate.
And you guys are roommates too, right? Of course.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you two guys from the same area, you got to be stuck together, right? Like the Ash brothers or something.
Yeah, it was funny. Actually, he was actually the day he was moving into our billet house. We went out for dinner, and before we were bringing him back to the apartment, and it was like me, my dad, Andrew, his dad, and everybody went to go order, and I ordered a beer, but I was only 17, right? And the lady asked for my ID, and I gave a fake ID, but it was right in front of Andrew's dad. And I don't think he was like all about that, right? So it was kind of funny. Like, it was one of those funny stories.
Now I got to leave you with this guy in Windsor.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. He's going to be living with me.
Yeah. Oh, shit, man. I guess we know who's supplying the beer or who's doing the runs,
right? Yeah, exactly.
All the bad memory or ideas run through his head. But.
Yeah,
he was a great goaltender for us, man, too, right? So to talk about a guy like that that you came up with is pretty cool. Two guys together, and then you start in the Spits after the Legionnaires in the 2006-07 season. Again, beginning stages of what would be a great Spitfires team, but definitely weren't at the time. I'm sure that no one looked around and said, yeah, we'll be winning a championship in a couple of years, right?
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that. It was like Bob and Smitty and Warren, like, they, I don't even know how to say it. My first year, like, we weren't a great team, but they would always say, like, you watch, like, 3 years from now, I promise you, like, you watch. And they were always on about that. You know what I mean? Like, we just want to be competitive. And, you know, if we're not winning on the scoreboard, we're definitely be winning and fighting. And me and Baldy just, I bet you over half of my fights that year were in the last 5 minutes of the game. Because, you know, if we're losing the game that year, it was me and Baldy just had free range in the last 5 minutes. And then the next year we got a bit better. And then the year after that, we were just untouchable.
Yeah. Yeah, it really progressed, according to their plan. Correctly, but you know, it's just, you always think like, and from what I can gather, like, they really wanted that the next year to be the championship team, but it just happened a lot quicker than expected, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, obviously picking up Taylor Hall was huge, and we had a good draft year.
Yeah,
we picked up some big names, obviously, and we already had a handful of good guys, and then we lost Bailey going into the third year, which was kind of a kick. But we had enough going into that year as it was.
That's the thing. I think, like, Bailey could have played in that 2009 Memorial Cup, technically, right? But
he stayed. He went to training camp for Islanders going into our Mem Cup year, and they ended up keeping him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he technically could have came back down and played. I don't know.
I just mean, like, he was in the age group, right? Like, it's not like he was. Like,
oh, yeah.
So, like, if he wouldn't have made the Islanders, he would have been there with you guys too. And imagine having Josh Bailey.
Oh, yeah.
In addition to
it, would have been huge. Yeah.
And you, I mean, you secured a spot pretty quickly too. I mean, obviously, given your role, but all 3 year seasons, you know, 40 plus games, not something that everyone does in your role, right?
Yeah. If I missed a game, it was due to suspension. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it all vibed. Like I always say, like, I wasn't your typical hockey guy.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, not in a bad way. It's just like, I was always a little bit more of an outsider in the hockey room. But there I felt like home. You know what I mean? Like, in Windsor, especially, and with that team, like, that was actually a team I bonded with. And on the ice, I think they definitely felt my presence behind them as well, too. Like, if I'm at least on the bench, or, you know what I mean, at least capable, you know, they're going to play with a little more confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as long as everyone's comfortable and on the same page, and kind of to allude to what you're saying about the coaches kind of instilling that confidence in you guys, you know, that helped you guys probably play at a better level, or, you know, perform at that level. And
so they definitely manifested it.
That's, yeah, sure. Exactly. Right. And get you guys to commit and understand what the goal is here. Big mental aspect to the game, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Winning was like a big subject. You know, win, like, win everything. They just didn't, they wanted it to be in our heads. Right.
And it worked. It worked.
Obviously. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, this goes back to the beginning. And before we get to, you know, the Memorial Cup championship, you're playing in the barn. It all starts in the barn. Majority of your time with the Spits is in the barn. And we talked about it a little bit. Who doesn't love playing in the barn, at least if you're on the Spitfires?
Yeah, it was that place was absolutely incredible to me. The people from that barn was absolutely incredible to me because it was like our fan base, like we talked about earlier, had changed and shifted from when we went from the barn to the WFCU or whatever. But at the barn, it was just like the blue collar, like my people, like my type of people, you know what I mean? Like blue collar, hardworking, good people. And like when I would fight, like it still makes my hair go up. When I'd fight, like it was like I could hear people like above me as I was fighting. And like if you're getting the upper hand, you would just hear the roaring and the screaming. And you know, it was like almost having like an extra power with having the fans there because it was so loud and vibrant in there. It was an incredible place.
Gives me chills, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I miss the barn. I don't know. You're probably not too familiar with it, but it's sitting there doing nothing pretty much right now. And we have a basketball team that's trying to overtake it and, you know, have it be like their main home and as well as like a recreation facility. So if you're familiar with what they've done in Toronto with the Maple Leaf Gardens, that's what I would want it to look like. So Maple Leaf Gardens is the old Leafs rink. And now it's a grocery store on the first floor, but everything above it is all the Ryerson University sports facility. So they just, you know, made it. They just pack a lot of shit in there, right? So we can do that with like our university and just do something with the bar.
Yeah, it was so sad leaving that place. It was never the same for me. Windsor didn't feel the same for me after leaving that. But I don't do well with change. Yeah. And that was definitely one of the things that hit hard on me for sure.
Yeah, everyone's different, man. And again, like it's something you love, something that we have had for so long. It's tough to
exactly
taken away from you, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll skip a little bit because, I mean, you spent two seasons with the barn, then moving on to WFCU, kind of halfway through that season in 2008-09. Yeah. That's when the shit happens, right? Like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is big time. Talked about the coaching staff, but we had some, you know, fantastic coaching staff that helped lead you guys there. And I'm sure they're very beneficial to you and helped lead you.
Everything seemed like it was like the perfect puzzle. Like, you know, Smitty, Bugner, everybody just blended and it worked out for us. Like the coaches were on us all the time. You know, they let us play when it was time to play, and they hammered it down when it was time to go to work. But they made it sure, like, you know, if you want to have fun, you better show up to work. And, you know, they let us be kids. And as long as we were doing our job, then they didn't care. And I think that helped a lot because, like, you sit there like a drill sergeant and beat the heck out of the kids and just work, 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 work.
Yeah.
What the hell? You know what I mean? You're taking the fun out of it, right?
Yeah.
And we knew when it was time to work, and we knew when it was time to play. That's for sure.
And it's just like yourself, like you said, your dad didn't push you too hard into hockey. And that's probably part of the reason why you made it to as far as you did. If you were, you know, like, I don't really want to do this, you know.
Yeah. Like my dad was always the most supportive person. Like it didn't matter if it was hockey or even like, you know what I mean? Even with everything else, with like the addictions and everything, I wouldn't be here without my dad. He was my rock. My wife and him were, you know what I mean? Like I can never say enough about my father. But yeah, it's just one of those things, right?
Yeah. It's life, man. Like life's just going on while you're a kid, really. Like, you know, I was thinking like, as you were talking before, it's like, like obviously I looked up to you guys at that time, but I still look back and like it's like hard to think that you guys were kids when that shit was happening.
Yeah,
right? Like
I even feel like that too sometimes.
Yeah.
But we also seen a lot, went through a lot as a team together that you know, it really separates the men from the boys, right?
So
you're a glorified man at that point.
Yeah, and that's true. And I mean, Needless to say, obviously, I mean, it doesn't happen too often where a hockey team goes through such a thing like you guys did and losing captain and Mickey Reno. And you had some crazy, in a sense, good stories about Mickey and that time on Brady's podcast that are pretty heavy and touching.
Yeah. But
they're part of our history. And, you know,
I see that you guys keep it running too, which is always good to see. You know, his memory is definitely never forgotten by, from what I see. I don't keep up that much, but when I always do check in on February 18th, and I'm always seeing something. So that's good.
Yeah. And that's coming up, and they just announced today because of Ontario, the 18th is the last freaking game where the capacity is 500 people. Otherwise,
come on.
I hope they make an exception or exemption for that. I'm you know, give it another week, and hopefully, like I don't want to take a ticket from any fan, but hopefully, like, media can get in there. Hopefully, they still do something, because that's like the biggest game of the year, or at least like if they have to push the ceremony to another date, I know that they won't skip it because it's Mickey, right?
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's good then. That's good. I hope it works out.
Yeah, it's just these times we're living in. Dude, whatever. You know, I don't want to talk about it too much.
Yeah, I don't want
to. But it's Mickey. We got to do something for him, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And man, like I always say, you can make a movie out of this Spitfires team, and
you really could.
Like, because of that is a big part of it, and not only that, you go on to win for him, for the fans, for yourself, for everyone that you know, for your dad, for your coaches.
Do I remember some sort of correlation between the winning goal and when it was scored, like 1818 or something, on one of the games? Is there some sort of correlation there?
Yeah, I want to pull it up now and see if I can pinpoint it, because I remember there was some, like, you know, this was meant to be kind of thing, and 18s were in the numbers for sure.
Yeah, it's so weird, man. Everything in my life now always happens on 18 or 22. Like, my son was born in 2018. My daughter was born July 18th. My kid on the way is going to be born in 2022. There's so much, man. I could go for days. Yeah. There's everything in my life happens that way.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I don't want to like get too much into all the crazy whatevers, but
sometimes
it's just like, there's no other explanation, right? Like,
it's
just a sign or something.
Eerie, for sure.
Yeah, it really is. But again, man, doing it all for what you guys did, winning that championship had to feel so fucking good.
It was an amazing time. It was almost like sitting back and watching it from outside yourself. You know what I mean? Like, the way everything went down, all the celebrations, and you know, coming home, bringing the cup back to Windsor, and the parade, and you know, finally, it was like a 3-year journey that we knew was going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, from the day I got there, we had spoken about it. It was going to happen that year, and the way the coaches were saying it, it was going to happen in 3 years. And you know, we all thought that. We never, even when we lost the first couple of games, nobody hit the panic button. Nobody even really cared. Like, it's almost like we still knew. Everything's fine, you know, it's gonna happen. And it was like, you know, we knew it was gonna happen in 3 years, and we just watched it play out step by step by step by step, and then it was finally over. So I can't speak for what it was like for the guys the next year that also won it as well, but I know for that first year it was something special for sure.
Yeah, and again, like most championship teams, like, you don't hear that as well. Like, you don't hear like, yeah, this has been in the works for years and it finally paid off. And, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially at a junior level. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
And we had so much hype and so much attention and so much pressure. But everybody held it together, and, you know, it was good to see. And like I said, we were collecting fines during Mem Cup. Like, for just bullshit stuff. Like, it was almost like, you know, some people were against us in a way, but you know, we always stood strong. So
yeah. And you know, I'm sure, even though after it was all said and done, they were still coming after you guys. Like,
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's crazy, man. Like I like I said, I've wanted to have you on, and once we reconnected, you know, started to do the research, and I'm like, you know, those 3 years go by quick in Windsor. Like it feels like longer, but you're here for like a cup of tea pretty much, and then you're off to pro.
Yeah, it's actually sad. It was just one of those moments, like you didn't want it to end. Like most people would go home. Like if you think about the OHL guys that play in their cities, they go home. You know what I mean? Like they go home in the summer and train. Most of our guys didn't want to go home. You know, I didn't. I stayed in Windsor. I think one summer I went home, and the rest of the summers I was off and on. Like I would be there, but I'd be more so in Windsor, and that's where I wanted to be. You know what I mean? And a lot of other guys were that way too.
Still to this day, still guys from your team are coming here in the summer.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Training at the rink, and maybe, you know, got a place to stay. But yeah, that's just, you know, a test of what you're saying is just kind of the family of the organization too, right?
Yeah, you know, I've been out of touch with everybody, and that's on me. But yeah, for sure. Like it was a big family, you know, and I miss it dearly. But yeah, and I'm happy that those guys still go out there and get to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And like you know, you're living a different life now, and we'll talk briefly about it later, but not keeping in touch with a lot of guys from hockey, I guess. Right.
Oh no, and that's all on me too. But it was just, I had to remove myself from what I thought was my reality. And, you know, I tried moving away. I tried going different places. And, you know, what really ended up working was just having the right support system and putting my head down, going to work, which was what I always knew best. You know, I mean, I was always a hard worker. And I always took pride in whatever work I was doing. And, you know, I'm a blue collar guy. I went to work, I put my head down and started taking pride in what I was doing 9 to 5. And that helped pull me out too. Right. So.
Yeah, that's what you need. I mean, you see it worked obviously, and it's still working, got the overalls on, working all the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And like, obviously, like I said, we watched your interview with Brady, and, you know, after Windsor, excuse me, is where, you know, it does get different for you, of course. After a struggle for a young kid playing pro, you jump into that first year again. You got some familiar faces with you, which might have been good. Dale Mitchell, yeah, Jesse Blacker were there too. But
yeah,
this is like, you know, this is different. This is now you're out of the Billet family. Now you're on your own. So
honestly, when I went there, I was broken when they told me I wasn't going back to Windsor, because I was still eligible for an overage year, and they said, yeah, you're not going back. And I was like, fuck, because you know, I mean, that I'm huge about what's comfortable to me, and being in Windsor was like being home, and that's what was comfortable to me. And when I found out I wasn't going back, it hurt. And you know, I made it through that first year. I took a back concussion towards the end of the season. I was still using a lot of oxy. I went into the next off season kind of rehabbing from my concussion, but I was still using a lot. And then full blown going into my second year of pro, I was every day, like all day, every day on oxy. And obviously people knows what that does to your body. Right. So, but pro wasn't an enjoyable time for me. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I know. And it's a tough thing to kind of like how I talk about, you know, people's careers on the show here, because, you know, you played for the Marlies, you played for Toronto area guy, or, you know, close enough. I'm sure you're a big Leafs fan, but that's not the end all be all, you know?
No,
you know, it's not what it's all about. And, that being said, you know, ups and downs, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, it, like, you know, I went there and, you know, I was like halfway through the season, I realized I was spending all my money on drugs and stuff like that. So I try to reel back a bit my first year and focus on hockey more. And it was just a band-aid, right? Yeah. And I went into my next year and I didn't train at all between my first and second year. Like I was just in full-blown addiction. And I tried to start to juice a bit towards halfway through the summer because I knew I was going to be so out of shape, right? And I ended up gaining 40 pounds. And then when I went to camp, they sent me down to do a conditioning stint, right? So, and that was okay because it got me out of Toronto and got me away from home. And that kind of helped being down there. But as soon as I took my last concussion, it was over.
Yeah, it probably wasn't a help kind of being close to home in a sense. And not to talk about any other like hockey market, but being in Toronto, like tons of eyes on you, right? So
yeah, Marley's wasn't as much eyes, but like a lot of people never would have imagined I would be going through something like that, right? Because everybody knew me fairly well, and I was always a well-spoken, very like a nice person until, you know what I mean? So yeah, it would have been hard for somebody to realize what was going on, I think. Yeah.
And like the role that you played, and it's talked about a lot now, wasn't talked about at all during your time, but no one would have thought the tough guy was, you know, had any issues, right?
Yeah, well, I would say any fighter has issues.
Well, yeah, I mean, I worded that bad.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Any fighter, it doesn't matter where you're fighting. But like, yeah, mine was just over time. It was just anxiety and a little bit of depression and trying to get my brain to stop and stop running my life. You know what I mean? And that's what shut it off. And then the outside pressures from hockey and wondering, you know, are you getting set down? Are you getting traded? Are you going here? Are you going there? For somebody that's a homebody, that was tough for me.
Yeah.
And then the concussions, like, you know, you do your baseline test at the beginning of the year so that if you do get a concussion, you do the test again and then you see where you level up. Like, I was purposely fucking up the baseline test at the beginning of the year so that when I was concussed, when I would do the test, I had some leeway there. You know what I mean? I could still play. But after my last concussion, I think it was like 6 months, and I was still not even getting 50% of my baseline test.
Yeah. And you know, like you mentioned, they sent you down to Reading, right? Reading. And, you know, at that point, it was just like there wasn't much that was going to help, right? Like there was guys there that, like Rob Quitt was there, but, you know, it wasn't you could, like, you were kind of lost in your
journey. I had a really good buddy there with me, Rob Slaney, and Quitt was there as well too. But I didn't mind Reading. Reading was a good place. It was a good system, and it was a great fans. And, you know, if I almost wish that I was in a better state of mind when I was there, because I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more than what I did.
Yeah.
But of course I was going through detox half the time I was there.
Yeah. And, you know, like, that's the thing, like, we're not going to shy away from anything, but that is a difficult thing, right? And I like to, you know, promote people's lives and stuff, but yeah, not everyone has a storybook story, right? And then you don't have to, that's not what you need to have, right? But what we like to do is we just like to talk everyone's people, right? So
I'm more
talk about it.
Yeah, I more so do it because, like, you know, even I messaged Branch the other day, and I, like, David Branch, and I just said, you know, we're me and Brady and Aaron Snow, Windsor guy, we're gonna try and put something together where we can talk to people and parents and teams and stuff like that on our spare time. But, like, I messaged Branch, I said, you know, that's not gonna be ready for a very long time, probably. I don't know if you know of anybody that's hurting or whatever, but, you know, if I could be a helping hand at all, like an open line for anybody, a helpline or anything, if you want to put up in place, like, I'll answer the phone or I'll show up or whatever I need to do. But that's why I do this stuff, right? Because, you know, me in my position when I was there in junior, you know, it all started at Windsor, or even pro and everything else. Like if there was somebody like myself available, maybe it would have been easier for me. Right. So that's why I do it. That's why I speak about it. So.
And you know what? Yeah, we have to, right. Just awareness, right. You know, you gotta talk about it a little bit. And, you know, it's good that you can talk about it, like we mentioned. And, now, like, as you told me, you're living the boring life, just at home.
No, it's not boring at all.
You're doing nowadays
with kids. Yeah.
Looks like you run like your own farm or something out there.
No, it's a house severed off of farmland. I can help when I want to, and I can help not help or whatever. Right. But it's got a beautiful view, and it's something that I always wanted. You know, I got, two beautiful kids. I got another one on the way. You know, married, and you know, I'm a foreman for a sewer and water main company, small company called Todd Brothers in Stouffville. And just a normal life. I say it's a normal, simple life because of what I came from with hockey and everything else. It was something that was least from normal. But obviously now it's different for me, but
yeah. But again, those are the stories that I like to tell, you know. We know guys from Windsor for whatever the reason is, but where are they now? What are they doing now? And even just your story is interesting to catch up with you. And it's cool that, you know, you still, you know, enjoyed your time in Windsor and say you love it. It's cool to, you know, still have some ties to.
Oh yeah. Like me and even my dad, like my dad was in Windsor every single weekend. He did not miss a weekend in those 3 years. And he partied with the team. He had his own parties with his parents. Like, he loved Windsor. Like, he had the most fun ever there. And, you know, he misses all the people too. And, you know, my dad was such is such an amazing guy. And I think a lot of people got glued to him too while he was out there. So.
That's cool, man. I don't want to end this. Like I'm sure there's more that we could talk about or something that I could skip that I might've skipped over, but I don't know, man. I just want to thank you for like really taking the time to join me and chat with me about your time in Windsor, talk about anything. And
stuff anytime
for the future is cool, man.
Yeah. Anytime, man. I enjoy it.
Huge thanks goes out to Richard Greenup for joining me on the Wind City Sports Podcast to talk about his time here in Windsor. Some great stories from Richard on that one. Obviously love the stories of the Ryan Baldwin one, a lot of the fight stories, of course, the tough guy stuff, and the one of going to dinner with Angelique and his dad and ordering a beer. Definitely some good stories from Richard Greenup on this one. And thanks for coming on to talk with me and, you know, kind of open up and tell your story. As mentioned before, if you haven't heard it, you can hear the whole thing on the Hockey to Hell podcast on YouTube, and I would love to have Richard back and probably tell some more stories that will come to mind. Again, just a guy that, like you said, left a mark on the community, on the Windsor Spitfires organization, and the name we'll never forget. I told him the story before the podcast of actually meeting him in the suites at the WFCU when I was a co-op kid in 2010 following his Memorial Cup win. But I'm going to keep it short this week on Wind City Sports, wrap it up, get to the Super Bowl party. I'm sure everyone listening today is probably hungover or tired from yesterday, but we'll get you caught up with some basketball news with our Windsor Express. The training camp took place this past week, shaping up their roster. We had one local in Sean Anderson from the St. Clair Saints men's basketball team and a Windsor local. A lot of Americans from the Michigan and New York states, and as well some from Quebec and Ontario, but we'll see how the roster shapes up as we are just a week out from the kickoff, or tip-off better yet, of the NBL of Canada 10th season. 1 week from today, the Windsor Express will be playing in Sudbury against the Sudbury Five. That's a family day afternoon game. And then kicking things off at home with their home opener on February the 26th against their rival London Lightning, and I will be there as one of the Express's newest color commentators. So announced here on Wind City Sports, we'll have more on that as it approaches, but be joining the Frost Father down there, so that'll be fun. Some more basketball news, we'll talk about our Windsor Lancers and St. Clair Saints. Some unfortunate news for our Lancers struggling this week. Men's and women's basketball teams both fell to Brock over the weekend. Next up, the men's basketball team and women's basketball team will be welcoming in the Western Mustangs on Wednesday at the St. Denis Center, the Farrell Fieldhouse, 6 p.m. for the women's and 8 p.m. for the men's. And on Saturday, they'll travel up to London to take on the Western Mustangs in their home court. Both men's and women's volleyball teams lost to Brock on Wednesday, and now as I speak on Sunday the 13th, they're up in St. Catharines trying to redeem themselves with games against them. And finally, for the Lancers, both hockey teams lost in their returns, as the men's hockey team dropped a pair of games this past weekend, last losing to Waterloo 5-1, and before that losing 4-6 to Waterloo. Their next game is going to be this Friday at the Capri Pizza Center. Actually, two games this weekend at the Old South Windsor Arena as they take on the Guelph Griffins for back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday. The women's team also returned this week and lost two games to Guelph. Coming up next, they will be in Waterloo on Friday and then doing a little home-and-home as they welcome the Waterloo Warriors to the South Windsor Arena, Capri Pizzeria Recreation Complex, on Saturday. In other news, our St. Clair Saints, St. Clair College basketball teams returned to action this week. The men's basketball team defeating Lambton College 94-79, and then Canadore 90-79 this past Saturday. Next up for the Saints, they will take on Fanshawe in London on Tuesday, and then Saturday and Sunday next weekend, or this weekend better yet, welcoming Humber and Sheridan. The women's team also started off with two wins and have a similar schedule as the men's. They started off with two wins over Lambton. This Tuesday, they will be in London taking on Fanshawe, and then coming home on Sunday, actually, to take on Sheraton before the men's. So that's pretty much it for Windsor local sports news. Get you caught up during this crazy week in Windsor. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Monday for a new episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, featuring interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more every week here on Wind City Sports Podcast. Give us a like, follow, subscribe on whatever it may be on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at WinCity_sports. We're very easy to find nowadays. WINCITY is all one word. Tell your friends about the Wind City Sports Podcast and give us a review, follow, whatever it is on any podcast platform you might use. And you can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram, at Drake DeMore. But until next week, smell you later.